Hello, and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining us today and every week are Brenda and Randy Lee.
Good.
It's so good to see you.
Good day. Good day. I was going to say good morning, but it's not.
You're just like royalty. Just like the king and queen of Narnia, I always tell you. On another topic, we're going to talk about, and you'll have to explain this, Randy, as usual, we're going to talk about love communication.
We are. And where this came up for me, like several years ago, there was a theologian kind of a person, I don't remember who it was, but he argued that all human conversation could be reduced to a discussion of two questions. Do I love you and do you love me? Mm-hmm. Right, kind of a Barney song kind of a theme there. But explicitly or implicitly, all human conversation was searching for answers to those two questions. And I don't know that I entirely buy it. I feel like sometimes when I order an ice cream cone, I'm not looking for love. I really just want an ice cream cone. But be that as it may, I think it is true that people really do invest a lot of energy every day trying to receive and communicate answers to those two questions. Now, a couple of years ago, family therapist, speaker, author, Christian guy named Dr. Gary Chapman came up with his theory of the five love languages, right? Mm-hmm. And it created a bit of a buzz at the time. And Dr. Chapman's five love languages, the five ways people either articulate or perceive love, are words of affirmation, so mm-hmm. compliments, positive words. Second one, quality time spent together. Third, acts of service, doing things for one another. Fourth, physical touch. And five, receiving gifts. Now, the intriguing thing for me is not what these five languages are, but that there are five different languages, which means just because I am speaking I love you in my love language, that doesn't mean that you'll receive that message in yours.
Well, you know, that's a good point, because if you listen to, like, marriage therapists, they'll often say that husband A says this to his wife, and out of love, she said, well, that was sounded just like criticism to me. So your love language might not be mm-hmm. the same as...
Except for example, say that Brenda's or the wife or whatever, she expresses, articulates love through acts of service, right? That's one of the categories. And she's going to tell her husband that she loves him by making this incredible dinner,
right?
And husband comes home, she's in the kitchen, she's slaving away on this dinner, and what speaks I love you to him is the quality time language, right? So although the wife in her language has very clearly articulated that she loves him, what he has heard in his quality time language is that she cares more about meals than she cares about him.
Right.
And it could be the same thing with parent-child, siblings, friends. The dynamic doesn't have to just be, you know, husband-wife, but any pair of people who are trying to communicate that message run into that same danger, right? And the danger is, in this whole love language dynamic, we assume that we're all speaking the same language, or at least we're all speaking English, and we're not.
Right.
Right. A friend of mine was telling me the other day how frustrated he is with modern communication because he insists that modern communication isn't actually about communicating anymore. Right. It's almost like tag. Right.
Yeah.
He says, I'll ask one of my employees to contact someone and get an answer to a question. A week later, I'll ask them, so what's the answer? And they'll say, well, I don't know. I texted them or I emailed them, but they never got back to me, right? And that's not communication. That's, you know, you're it. I left a message for you. No, you're it. I left a message back for you. Communication only occurs when we have shared meaning. Do you know how the people you care about hear love, right? Do they know how you express it? If the answer to either of those questions is no, then you're probably not communicating love.
And we make assumptions, don't we? Like before you marry your spouse,
mm-hmm.
how that, you know, oh, we're so in love with
right.
each other.
We're on
so
the we're same page.
We don't even have to say a word or do a thing. It's just
right.
known. It's like, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Eleanor, that's a great point, because even in that very simple dynamic, we see a flaw in communication,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we hear or we think of, I love you and I am in love with you as the same thing.
Right.
And the reality is when we communicate those things, we're communicating two very, very different things, right? I love you and I love you. Love is the verb. It's an action. It's something you do, right? So because I love you or when I love you, that's when I get up at 3 a.m. to help you breathe better or give you your medicine. Or if it's really dark and you're afraid, I hold you, right?
Yeah.
That's I love you, right? In I am in love with you, right? Love isn't a verb. It's a place.
It's and, it's an object of a preposition.
Actually. And it, very good, right? Beyond me, right? But it's a place where you make me feel joyful, all warm and fuzzy.
In
right?
that place.
In that place, right? It's me waking up in the morning and I see Brenda and I think, wow, I am really in love with you, which is a wonderful wonderful feeling to have, but that's different than that dynamic that says I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to, you know, clean up whatever that, you know, happened at night. I mean, two different things. It's I love you is a mom changing her baby's diaper.
Yeah.
Right. I am in love with you is a mom holding her baby and saying, I could look at you for hours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we think, you know, to say one and to say the other is the same thing. And they're very different.
Yeah.
And both of them at various times need to be expressed, right? And they need to be expressed if we're going to sustain relationships, right? If our relationship is going to be successful, then I have to hear that love from you and I have to successfully express love to you. And the interesting thing, going back to this dynamic that you have these five different languages and people are communicating across and over the top of each other and not communicating, I think sometimes there's this temptation to say, well, this is just how I express love, right? Or this is how I need to hear love from you, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right? But if that's what you're saying, you're not expressing love, right? There's a very wicked line in 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes Paul was just evil, right? A horrible line. I know why. Love 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter, right? They played at weddings. But there's this really mean line, love does not insist on its own way, right? Even at Pentecost, right? God spoke to each in his own language. That's how love works. Love doesn't say, this is how I express myself. You've got to figure out how to hear it. If you're speaking out of love, you're saying, right, I'm going to, or you're thinking, I'm going to find the way to communicate to you that you will understand, right? So we can't say, you know, I'm speaking love and say, if you don't get it, it's your fault.
So it really comes down, like I always said, we don't teach the art of communication. There's so many levels to communication that we just never know about, you know?
Right.
And like you said, with the a young couple getting married, you're like, we speak the same language, we're on the same page until something difficult comes up.
It's just the thinking that goes on there is, you know, you're going to love me as long as you never look at anybody else. I mean, just like things like that, you know, are these rules that we almost have set in our head that aren't really based in reality and don't necessarily promote growth in love.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's a fascinating dynamic to pick up on, Brenda, what you were just saying, right? Here is, according to where we started, that all communication really is hungering to hear these messages and share these messages, right? The most important thing in our life we're going to communicate, and we really don't prepare ourselves. We really don't think about how to do this effectively. You know, we'll take somebody through Algebra 2, and we won't take somebody out, how do you communicate love to the people you most care about, right? And I think how important this is. Mother Teresa used to say, the greatest poverty, the greatest thirst is the thirst for love. And it's such a great word, thirst. The most urgent need of the human body is
water.
Exactly. It's water, right? You actually, I didn't know this, but you actually can go 1 to 2 months without food. Now, I probably need to insert here one of those don't try this at home warnings.
Don't worry about me.
Right. But but the science says, depending on conditions, you can go without food 1 to 2 months. However, the science also warns that you cannot go more than 1 to 3 days without water. Mm. In fact, as anyone knows who's tried this, if you're going even several hours without water, your body starts interrupting your thought process to tell you you're thirsty, right? Did you see the big game on Sunday? You know, do you like my new dress? Oh, by the way, I'm thirsty. I got to get a drink of water, yeah. Right? I need to get water. And Jesus from the cross says,
yes.
I thirst.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. If anyone was ever going to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, the guy's omnipotent, right? It's like Superman up there, more than Superman, but he thirsts for love.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. 25 years ago, we made a reference to this earlier, 25 years ago, the most pervasive song in America was the Barney song, right? Everywhere. I love you, you love me. Even today, various versions of the Barney song have over 100 million views on YouTube, right? For 30 years, Mr. Rogers dominated children's programming. Talk about sustaining, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. What sold Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? You watch that show. Other shows had, they had better sets. They had better props. They had better puppets, right? Better pacing.
But you always come back to Mr. Rogers.
Well, you do. I mean, and some people think it's because of the shoes and the sweater, but the sweater and the shoes, they were really cool. But I think what sold Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is kids could hear in the show that Mr. Rogers loved them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Interesting thing. Toward the end of his career, people would give Mr. Rogers, you know, awards, and his acceptance speech was always the same. Right? He'd get up there and he would say, please take 10 seconds to think about the people who have loved you into being.
All right, but for the next 10 seconds, we're going to take a break.
Which you can use to think about the people who have loved you into being.
Right. You're listening to The Family Show with Brenda and Randy Lee. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back with The Family Show with Brenda and Randy Lee, and we were talking about, in the first half, love communication, but we ended up speaking about Mr. Rogers and how, you know, it was kind of a goofy show, but I liked my kids watching it, and it was familiar, but he had that transparency about him that you just believed him, you trust him. He didn't have an agenda mm-hmm. he was trying to run mm-hmm. through, you know?
You know, you mentioned, Eleanor, during the break, that the love just came through him, right? The love just came. And I think that's an incredible gift because we're talking about how hard it is to effectively communicate this message. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Rogers so gifted because there's this vast audience watching him through a screen, and that message still resonated to each in his own language.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just very powerful. And to understand that challenge, so you have Dr. Chapman's 5 love languages, like words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, physical touch, receiving gifts.
Oh, you forgot to say jewelry.
And jewelry. Well, that's receiving gifts, right? If you look at the statistics, it's really interesting. They're all very close in popularity. There's not one dominant love language. I think the highest one is preferred by like 22 or 23% of the people. The lowest is like 19. So they're all clustered together. And to me, what that suggests is if you want someone to get that message of love, you need to be ready to use multiple languages.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no single language that seems to work with everyone all the time.
Right.
Right. However, all of this has just been an introduction to what I really wanted to talk about.
Now
which in the second half, which is how this relates to God, right? How he communicates love to us and how we communicate love to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because the whole, I'm still back on the art of communication. I'm like, no, honestly, because if you grow up in a family where this was not communicated, mm-hmm. where do you learn this? You learn, where is your model? You know, so you kind of, as you go, you kind of get your own niche and you say, oh, this is how I communicate love. This is where this works. But if the other person has a different mode, you're just off. You're just off. So I'm back. You all need a course or something.
Yeah.
But well, God's our model.
Well, you know, I think in a sense that it is because, you know, you think about how God teaches people to love, mm-hmm. how God teaches people to communicate love, right? I have loved you first, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's right, that people are going to learn how to communicate. And I think, Bren, you put your finger on the pulse when you said we need to really learn it in the home, right? You said, you know, what if the communication mechanisms in the home weren't effective or whatever, right? You know, I think the people we love, we have to constantly be modeling this for, you know, and you have to love people into being. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the whole point of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is, I'm going to love people into being effective lovers.
You know, if I can go back to my old days of counseling, I remember that, you know, there were many techniques at that time and mm-hmm. like 30 years ago, and I was never that comfortable with it. And I realized later looking back, I think the most effective was just accepting the person that came in, that person, for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Not agreeing with everything that they were doing.
Right.
Obviously, there was some difficulties mm-hmm. there. But starting there.
Well,
this is
which is what
are.
God does.
Yeah.
He
with
loves
us. Doesn't he do that?
Yeah.
Every
for who
day.
We are.
Not, he doesn't wait till I'm perfect because,
boy. Or see how many good deeds we've done or acts. He loves us. And we have to cement that in ourselves, first of all.
And I think, Bren, that's a great point, that the foundation is we have to cement in ourselves that he loves us. And to even understand him communicating, because God is a very, I hate to say it, but God is a very twisted communicator, right? So you go back to those questions, do you love me? Do I love you? Right? And that dynamic of that's what is at the heart of communication, I think, is even more true for God, right? Jesus spends the first 3 years, he's preaching all over Israel. On Holy Thursday, he reduces everything he said in 3 years
mm-hmm.
into one sentence. Love one another as I have
loved you.
Loved you. Mm-hmm. Greater love has no man than this, that he gives up his life for his friends. John 3:16, you used to always, that wasn't John 3:16.
Every sporting event.
But every sporting mm-hmm. event, right, in the end zone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. God truly is constantly saying to us one thing, I love you, I love you, I love you, right? God just articulates it in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is the challenging part, because when we hear God's voice, and this is that notion Brenda's saying of what cements it, we've got to begin with that as the cement. When we hear God's voice, we need to remember that what he's saying is more important than how he's saying it, right? How he's saying it can't change what he's saying. Saint Teresa once said, and this is a really ugly, unfortunate part.
Which Saint Teresa?
Saint Teresa, Little Flower.
Oh, Little Flower.
Little Flower.
Okay.
Saint Teresa once said, and this was while her body was being ravaged by, I think it was like tuberculosis, lungs being torn apart, fever, right? And she says, I do not fear trials sent by Jesus, for even in the most bitter suffering, we can see that it is his loving hand which causes it,
mm-hmm.
right? We see the language, and this is a really hard saying, but I've got to say it anyway. We see the language, right? We see the expression, and we say, does this mean God doesn't love me anymore? Does this mean God has forgotten me, right? We got the disease or whatever, ravaging, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we say, does this mean God doesn't love me? And we instead need to be cemented in what Bren said, that notion that God loves us. We need to embrace the message and say, I know this says, whether it's whatever horrible moment that he's orchestrated or allowed, I know this says I love you. I don't understand it. I don't know how, but I know that this says I love you. And in this darkness, I need to embrace that love. I need to seek his light. I need to turn to my beloved.
Because as humans, we often project that onto God. We often project, well, why did you do this to me? If you really loved me, you wouldn't let this happen. Mm-hmm. You know, many people have probably said that about COVID for a lot of different reasons. We're so apt to do that so quickly. We project that onto God that the reason this happened is because he doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. No, he loves me.
We think because the articulation or the circumstances changed, that means God's message has changed.
Yeah.
And like Brent said,
right, it's conditioned on the
The situation. Constant is the message is always God loves me. The circumstances, the expression may change, but the message is always the same. It's a fascinating story. Mother Teresa, Big Teresa Day. Mother Teresa used to tell the story. She's bathing this dying woman, suffering, sores, lesions, fevers, you know, getting the bugs out, the whole bit, right? This woman's just a mess. And the woman asks, Mother, why is God doing this to me, allowing me to suffer like this? Mm-hmm. And Mother Teresa answers this woman, because Mother Teresa's got a little warped, twisted dynamic going on as well. Mother Teresa answers this woman, God is hugging you. Right. Only Mother Teresa can get away with this. God is hugging you. And the woman looks up at Mother Teresa and she says, Mother, could you tell God not to hug me so hard? It's really starting to hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. And we look at and it's interesting because the problem with God is we got to assume that we've got to remember that the constant is the message. I love you. And the expression is going to change. Mm-hmm. When we look at sacred communication from the other side, what we are expressing to God, right, we have the opposite dynamic, right, that our message is changing, but our articulation is a lot of times the same, and we got to be careful to keep our message constant.
What do you mean by that?
That's great you ask that. I'm so happy. You're just perfect, Eleanor.
I'm paying attention. Right?
Of course. Our life in the church is designed to mobilize all of our love languages, right, so we can express our love to God. And I never thought about this before, but that's what's going on. Words of affirmation, prayer,
yeah,
quality time, mass, adoration, retreats, confession, acts of service, right? Whatever you do, the least of my brothers, works of mercy. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on there. Physical touch. We as Catholics, very important for us.
Yes.
We've got the Eucharist.
Look at the sacraments.
Right, right.
We all involve
right.
that.
Receiving gifts, right? Alms, tithes, right? So all of these love languages, ways of expressing I love you to God, built into the life of the church. We're constantly going through these articulations, right? These expressions. We've got the expressions down. The question is, when we say them, are we saying I love you to God? Mm-hmm. Or are we saying there's got to be an easier way to get a donut on Sunday? Right. You know, go through the confession line. Got that done. Glad yeah. I can check that off for a week mm-hmm. or a month. You know, no mass again for me. Right. For me, it's a very scary question. But what does God hear when he hears my worship? Right. I mean, I'm going through the motions, the articulation of worship. But is he actually hearing I love you? Because that is what that articulation is supposed to be communicating. Is that really my message when I'm going through that step? And is that what, because he's going to hear what I'm actually articulating. That's the thing about working with a guy who's omniscient. He just sees right through you. He knows what the real message is. Is that the real message? As I go through all of these language in my Catholic life, is that the message that I'm trying to articulate, right? Great story. Jesus dines at the home of Simon the Pharisee, right? Woman comes in. She starts washing Jesus' feet with her tears, her hair, pours expensive perfume all over Jesus' feet. Simon sees the articulation of the message, right? And what he receives is an uninvited sinner is making a mess in my house.
Yeah.
And Jesus is oblivious. He doesn't care,
mm-hmm.
right? Jesus experiences the same articulation, and what he hears is the woman saying, Jesus, you have loved me. And this goes back to the point that Brenda was making about how he teaches us to love, how he teaches us to articulate, express. You, Jesus, you have loved me. Because of that, I love you. right? And then we fast forward to Holy Thursday. And Jesus does what at Holy Thursday? Washes the feet.
Yeah.
Right? What's the message? He's already set it up with the woman. You know what? This is an expression.
Yeah, this is an expression.
I love you,
right,
and I know that you love me.
Yeah.
That's Holy Thursday Mass, the washing of the feet. Do we understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's a love poem.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of Mass, it's a love poem. He loves us, and he appreciates that we have responded to that love as the apostles did in the 3 years.
Wow.
Hmm.
Always something good to learn from you two, right?
And from you.
Something to think about.
It is something to think about and to work on, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are out of time, but we invite you to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for The Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
For Brendan Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Rossman, and we leave you with the beautiful sound of Seasons.